views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein...
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Today is November the 9th, 2018. It is a Financial Friday. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to having that with you all. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Is the call-in number. And if you would like to get in, would love to hear from you. And the reason why we're able to do that is that we have Black Talk Radio Network. So please, everyone, support Black Talk Radio Network. Very easily, you can go to the website for this network, www.blacktalkradionetwork, and give a donation. Find a donation prompt, give a donation, so this network can stay on air. So necessary, needed. Without it, we won't have it. So we need you to support the network. You could do that by going once again to the overall homepage, hit the donation prompt, give some of your financial energy so the network can stay on air. Also, you can support the network by being a part of this social media platform. Social media platform is www.btrcommunity. www.btrcommunity is the social media site for Black Talk Radio Network, where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected there. And you, through a membership for only $24 a year gets you to where you can post things about you, your family, well, whatever it is that you would like to post within reason. You can do that there without being as adversely affected, and you'll be able to actually monetize it, and which you really can't do on the other platforms. They monetize your overall energy and your postings for their overall benefit. So had this for a while, Keith. So please definitely do that and check that out. And it's a membership for only $24 a year. You will be able to engage in all of your social media activities and not have to worry about your identity being sold or anything else, because that's not what's happening at BTR Communities. You can find that at www.btrcommunity is where you can find that. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, please, everyone, start acquiring real money. Take some of your currency and transfer it into real money. Take some of your other currency and transfer it into acquiring the proper preparations for the future. For today's show, on Financial Friday. Today's show, the topic of today's show is this deep recession will Voltaire into GNW1, and that is Global Nuclear War 1. The deep recession, the global deep recession will spiral definitely into a global war. So want to check that out today. At any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Would love to have you. And we have in studio, if I can wake him up, let me just see if I can touch. Pastor Keith, can you hear? Can you hear me, Pastor Keith? Yep, he's up. He's up and ready to go. So Keith is here in the building, and we're going to give you a great show. And if you would like to at any time get in on the conversation, please don't hesitate. Definitely do that. We'd love to hear from you. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. All right. Keith, do you have anything before we get started that you want to share? Okay, so Keith is ready to go. We're ready to go. And we're going to get into today's show. All right. So let me get into what's in the news. First article, let me set this up. Let me make sure this is right. And okay, cool. First article comes from Wall Street Journal, and it is that, let me pull this up real quickly. Saudi Arabia OPEC anchors ponder a future without the cartel. The kingdom is under pressure from the U.S. and investors in researching the possibility of the possible impact of a breakup of the oil producing group. So Saudi Arabia actually has funded a think tank to see what would happen, and they're saying it's because of some of the pressure from the U.S. No, that's not the real reason. Things are completely changing in the world, and they realize being a part of the OPEC is going to put them in a position of disadvantage, and so they're probably going to break up OPEC, and when they do, and which they will do, this is why they're thinking about it, is there's a Saudi Arabian top. Real quick, here's the insert for it. Saudi Arabia's top funded think tank is studying the possible effects of an oil market of a breakup of OPEC, a remarkable research effort for the country that has dominated the oil cartel for nearly 60 years. So there's the so-called Saudi Arabian government officials have funded a think tank to study the possibility and the effects of breaking up OPEC. Why? Because they know what's going to happen. And really what they're doing is that think tank is really strategizing where it should go when it breaks it up. And ladies and gentlemen, when OPEC is broken up, with the reserve currency of the U.S. dollar losing its position, OPEC breaking up, that's it, done, finito, over for the U.S. as you know it, completely. And it is definitely going to be done, in my opinion, but how it's going to be done is going to be the important part. So check out that article. This is not me making this stuff up. There it is right there. That's what's happening. And reading between the lines on that tells you pretty much everything. Uh-oh. Problems. Major problems for everyone here. I mean, significant life-altering problems. This is what this is signaling. So we're going to cover some of that in today's show. So check that out. Next article got from Sputnik News, Keith. It says, hitting where it hurts, why Russia, India, and China are growing a non-dollar trade. Much has been made over the possible geopolitical motivations behind the decision to price the 5 billion Russian-India S-400 deals in rubles, and Moscow and Beijing are eyeing another ruble-yuan-based trade compact. However, Sputnik News has discovered that there is also a purely economic reason for the three countries to move away from the dollar. I've always thought that India was critical in the BRIC nation. The BRIC nations is made up of Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. There's going to be other nations, major nations that are going to be a part of it. Germany and France will be a part of it. Turkey will be a part of it. Other countries will be a part of it. But the one in the current standing is many many nations on the continent as well. Right now, but one of the things a couple of years ago when we first started this show, I was wondering about how would India play in this whole deal, because India was critical and pivotal in this whole thing because of its overall military might, because of its economic standing, because of its population, and because of its overall emerging trend going forward in the future. And I actually thought that India would be a more staunch ally to the U.S. and then gradually would walk away. What I was surprised at, it was just how fast and how swift India made that complete trend. I knew that, you knew that they were going to do it because they were in BRICS, but their overall, it's really, you don't hear about it because it's a painful loss for the U.S. and they don't even want to cover it or face it. But believe me, they're looking at it and from behind closed doors. And the overall military planning rooms, they are definitely developing game plans specifically for India, because India has made such a hard turn away from the U.S. The actual turn actually surprised me. I knew it would happen, but I didn't think it would happen like this under these profound terms. And so, with that, and the reason being is because actually India's air force is one of the best air force in the world. India's air force is one of the best air force in the world. There were actually training operations where the U.S. would actually simulate combat with India, and guess what? Air force wise, guess what? India won 8 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10 versus the U.S. just from a standpoint of Air Force, just would be, and not, and you have to keep it in perspective for the same amount of aircraft, right? So it was equal in the overall, they were on par. Totally kicked their butt.
7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10. Their Air Force is no joke. No joke. So, but that's really, really important. So check that out. That was from Sputnik News. Next article, Keith, this was from antiwar.com. Israel and the trillion dollar 2005 to 2018 U.S. intelligence budget. So basically what they're saying is Israel's been actually sifting the U.S. and from, you know, in the overall intelligence budgets, and it has a lot to do with the cyberspace stuff that's going on. So, yeah, basically, Israel has been fleecing the U.S. Over a trillion dollars. $1 trillion is huge. $1 trillion in today's world is unpayable. I mean, if you really think about it, it's really, you can't pay it. And what's the U.S. debt? $21 trillion, but they lost $21 trillion. Right. They say that the debt is $21 trillion, but they lost $21 trillion. Hey, come on, man. That means everything else you're doing is ridiculous. But that's a very, very important. The American. This is what the subs is. The subtitle is: the American public and think tanks analysts are not surprised to know precisely how billions in taxpayer dollars flowed into the intelligence community are spent. Even the best plague ignorance. The Federal American Scientist Project in Governance Secrecy, commenting on the huge budget increase, told the Washington Examiner exactly what that signifies. It's hard to say, but it goes into, you need to check this out, goes into the cyberspace with Israel. So check out that article. Next article, got this from Project Syndicate. The global impact of a Chinese recession. The global impact of a Chinese recession. We're going to kind of put these together today, this one. And then next article, very, very important, Keith. This one comes from, where did this come from? From newschannel10.com. And I think that's a Texas, yes, yeah, a Texas publication. Norwegian frigate is rammed by tanker in harbor, could sink. An oil tanker rammed a Norwegian naval frigate yesterday, in a harbor on the country's west coast. Now, why is that important? Because what's going on in that area is the overall military drills, one of the largest ever, Trident Juncture is going on. And Russia is actually having live fire drills there as well. Russia always kinds of, with their submarines, pokes Norway all the time with their submarines. So here it goes. Here's the sub. On Thursday, in a harbor on the country's west coast, tearing a large hole in its side, the military says that the frigate's 137 members were evacuated amidst fears that it may sink. And it's over on this side, is actually taking on water, and it's sinking, and they're trying to do everything that they can to save that overall ship. And then there's next one I put into there. There's this.
This was an oil.
No, this was a naval frigate,
yeah,
that was hit by an oil tanker. Yes, it was hit by an oil tanker. Remember, a lot of oil tankers are double hull.
Yeah, they have to be.
Not all of them have to be, but most of them, the significant ones, yeah, they are. They really are. And they all should be, right, Keith? They all should be. It should be a requirement. But I'm not quite sure. There may have been a requirement after the Exxon Valdez situation, which wasn't a double hull tanker, else it wouldn't have spilled. So something very important. So there's the Twitter, and you can actually see the Norwegian frigate and the damage that is taken. And yeah, that's, they're gonna lose this one if they're not able to stabilize it, get, you know, buoy it, tie it down, and however they do to save these ships. And the pictures are all there, significant. Now here's why that's so significant. Remember, Keith, this isn't the first incident where an oil tanker actually hit a military military vessel. No, the American would know. It was actually the McCain. It was the McCain that was hit and damaged.
Yeah, but I think it was by a fishing boat that hit it.
Oh, you're saying a fishing boat that hit it? I don't remember what actually did hit it. I think it was another. But there was another incident. Remember where there was – no. There was another incident as well where there was another oil tanker that turned and hit a U.S. naval ship.
Where the captain got fired, yeah, and all that kind of,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. But here's the significance of that. Here's the significance of it. Remember when we were talking about how strong the U.S. Navy is compared to the rest of the world? Just, it's, you know, if the naval armada of the U.S. is huge. Well, you can nullify that by having other ships ram it.
And that was my point. How do you have floating whatever it is being able to approach one in the first place, let alone ram it?
Yeah, and I think in open waters is a whole lot harder to do. In the close confines of this is easier to do. But here's what is concerning to me, and I would love to know what happened on this one, without anybody knowing that I knew what happened. Because if you knew what happened, you probably wouldn't be able to speak anymore. I wouldn't be surprised, because remember, Russia is actually. Norway is where the Norwegian waters is where the Russian subs always do their exercises, their missile drills and everything else. Wouldn't be surprised, Keith, if there was a cellular jamming of this Norwegian frigate so that the oil and the actual tanker, the oil tanker, was able to hit it. And that's significant, because that's showing the overall, this could be coding to the military forces, because remember that Donald Cook was dead in the water. There was two or three U.S. vessels that were actually hit by things that they shouldn't have been hit by. And remember, one of the things with the other one was that they said that the overall oil tanker's controls were mysteriously taken over by someone else, and the U.S. vessel couldn't avoid it. There was no maneuvers that it could do to get out of the way. Very, very significant in this, because it now was starting to let you know to the navies around the world.
Well, and that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, me too.
The major weakness this is for these ships to be able to approach and ram these other ships.
Yep.
And like I said, you know, when you look at even security personnel, you know, in all actuality, we've gotten away from it in this country and stuff, but prior to, in the military, when you approach certain people, you have to ask permission to approach.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you look at what should be a Navy ship or something, he should have a boundary that you can't come within.
Yep.
So to actually be in a position where you can actually ram a ship, that's a major, major weakness.
Yeah, major weakness.
And you know that ship, those ships are out of commission for a very long time for that type of stuff. So, but I think what's not going to be admitted to is that the overall instruments. What were the instruments saying? What was on the bridge at that time? What was going on the bridge? I wouldn't be surprised if that scheduler and different. I think they actually have the ability through cellular weapons to shut off the U.S.'s tracking and targeting. Because now these ships actually, they can actually engage you to fire on you to stop you. You know, to stop you. And I think what may be happening is that those overall defenses have been nullified. Because I've never seen or ever heard of this many incidents under the same circumstances happening over and over and over again. There's a once is a problem, twice is a concern, three times is this is an operation. This is an operation, and it's really quietly telling the militaries around the world as to who really is capable of winning an all-out war. So,
and that's the first thing I thought of, Dave. I thought when I first saw this, the first thing I thought is this a test?
Yeah, right. Is this a dry run? Yeah, me too. And the thing about it is that I don't think that they're necessarily going to use ships to ram other ships, right? Because that's you can actually mitigate that. But here's the significance. If they can disable your targeting so that when their missiles start to come in on you, guess what? You're dead in the water. You won't be able to, that ship is dead in the water. There's a reason why there were so many commissioned officers on the Donald Cook, once it got back to shore from the Black Sea incident, so many of them gave up their commission, resigned their commission. There's a reason for that. Naval officers don't just resign their commission. They don't just do that. And the Donald Cook lost a significant amount of his commissioned officers. You know why? Because they were scared to death as to what they just saw.
And what they knew was...
And they knew what it meant.
Near horizon.
Right, and they knew what was on the near horizon. So the Donald Cook was totally disabled, had to go back into port, and many commissioned officers resigned their commission after an old Russian plane, the one that was shot down in Syria, had dry runs on it and they couldn't even target it because of what it was capable of doing, what its acoustic. It's EM weapons and cellular weapons. It totally nullified one of the most advanced ships in the U.S. Navy's armada. if I was on their commission and I saw that, you know what I said? It's time for me to get out. It's time for me to get out. I'm tapping out right here. I'm cool. You can think that you all that all you want to, but I'm not going to be that overall, you know, that fodder for you. So, yeah, now that I know what I need to do. So very, very interesting. And this is goes. This has history. To me, this is a clear message. Because one of the things that you do before you go into a war is you go into a demoralization program. You go into a demoralization program. Remember the article, Keith, that we had with the U.S. military saying that they anticipate a war with Russia and China?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the U.S. military personnel knows what that means. And they're able to size up what that means for them.
No doubt.
And what that may mean for them is that I know the likelihood of me making it, depending on what it is that you do, is slim to none. Or it's increasing that this is not going to be any kind of walkthrough like they've had in Grenada or any other engagement. So they absolutely know. And for me, just for me being in the military, I realized from what I was doing what the Russians were capable of. And guess what, Keith? I knew. Uh-oh. This one we won't win. This one, I'm not going to survive out of this one. So hopefully it doesn't happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen. So that is very significant because you're going to be going up against an adversary that has capabilities and equipment that are even more superior than yours because they are not as their tech side of them is much simpler. And the simpler tech stuff absolutely works. The simpler tech stuff in warfare absolutely works. This is why so many countries around the world are preferring to buy Russian arms and Russian military gear over the U.S. military gear. It's too high tech. Stuff don't work.
Plus, it's easy.
It's vulnerable.
It's easy to hack.
It's easy to hack, and is it completely vulnerable? It works well on paper, and the overall smart, you know, in the so-called. But when it comes down to really working with how they can use technology against technology, it becomes null and void. So, very, very. Very concerning. Next article. Got this one from Sputnik News. North Korea, here it is. Sputnik News. North Korea linked hackers accused of stealing millions in ATM cyber attacks. North Korea is linked as hackers accused of stealing millions in ATM cyber attacks. A hacking group believed to be linked to the North Koreans is conducting hacks. Motivated by money, according to a new report. Cybersecurity firms released a report on Thursday accusing the Lazar Group. No, hold on, let me move this down. Of being a dangerous fight. Let me move this. Come on down, please. The Lazarus Group of being a danger to financial institutions. After it allegedly carried out fast cash, quote unquote fast cash attacks, which include the hacking of ATMs in dozens of countries in the past few weeks. What have we always been saying, Keith, that the new real war and the real new battlefield is not going to be your grandfather's or your father's battlefield. It's going to be the cyberspace battlefield. Everyone is extremely exposed to cyber attacks and what that can do to you. That's the preferred method of the overall next war. That's World War III going into Global Nuclear War I. It is cyberspace is everything. It's the preferred position because you could be a country with no nukes, but if your cyber capabilities are strong enough, you will have the overall resonating power of a nuclear nation because of how much damage you can do to your adversary.
You know, Dave, I just saw an article the other day. I thought I sent it to you, but apparently not. But one of these banks were just advertising about all these lost accounts that they basically the money's gone out of.
Mm.
That was just within the last couple of days. I can't remember which bank it was, though.
Yeah.
Let's try to find that. But here's why this is so damaging. Think about a bank. What would a bank do to what they a bank would say, oh my goodness, cyber attack, man, we got to protect our customers, right?
No.
You know what the banks really, in my opinion, saying, oh, this is a golden opportunity for plausible deniability. We can blame it on somebody else. And the key is, if you don't have that mentality as an individual person, you're basically putting yourself in a position of blind faith with the overall financial institutions. And what you may find out is that later on you'll say, oh, shoot, I wish I had. By having that mentality, you really start to protect yourself, because you shouldn't trust the financial institutions. You don't know what goes on. You just have they just give you the appearance that everything is that they're have your best interest at hand. But let me tell you something. What does history tell you about bankers and you? You think they changed? You think they've rehabbed themselves from their addiction to financial power?
Absolutely. Well, they've changed a couple of times. You know, back in the day.
I mean, changed away from that.
Yeah. Back in the day, there was a relationship between you and your bankers. Way back in the day. Probably one of the best examples you could look at. And it was somewhat like this would be the Beverly Hills building. You remember how the banker was always they had millions of dollars.
Hold on, Keith.
Dave, do you remember the Beverly Hills?
go ahead.
You remember? But there was a relationship between you and your banker.
I'm not 70 years old, Keith, so I don't remember that Beverly Hills building. But go ahead.
But you know that's long gone. That's long gone. The probably closest you can get to that now, and that's disappearing fast, is if you can get with a credit union, because there were some relationships involved with that.
Yep.
But as far as banks go, man, that's been gone.
Yeah, and today's Financial Friday, so that's very important. You know, Keith, I would love if we can go back a couple of generations and speak to our family members that went through the Great Depression. What would they tell you about bankers? What do we think that they would say about bankers?
Hmm.
None of that has changed. It's really a cycle. See, we don't remember. Because now we think, but let me tell you something. A lot of the financial institutions have been around for hundreds of years. You haven't been around hundreds of years. So they know what their overall policies and procedures and what their real objectives are. They say that every war is a banker's war. So as people, why wouldn't we think that they wouldn't exploit you to fund their next power surge?
Yeah.
And, you know, so the benefit of the doubt should be you should doubt that they're sincere. But if you would like to have, no, they won't happen, that's not true, they'll be all right, that's cool. You go ahead and have that.
Well, and really, you don't have to go back. I mean, again, if you look at, you know, just go back to the financial collapse of this recent one.
In the U.S. or in
the U.S.
Okay, 2008, 2007.
Again, that whole thing was done because they were gambling against themselves with other people's money, and it all backfired on them.
Credit's a false swap.
Yes. And nobody got prosecuted for that.
Nope.
The American people had to bail them out of all the bullcrap that started with
their gambling losses. They had to bail them out of their gambling losses.
After that, how can you start to trust a banker or this country that protects a banker? You know,
Uh-oh, y'all. Keep about to go. Here we go.
Because the stuff is so absurd. You know, and it has something, it reminds me of something that has nothing to do with it, But by the same token, it's the same mentality that makes sense to Americans that are just as whacked as you can get. One of those was, in fact, was when you go back to Nixon and when you go back to these people that are being pardoned for political reasons because they're saying, you know what, it doesn't serve the country any good to have these people prosecuted when they're on it. How backwards can you get?
When they committed all of these crimes.
When they commit all the crimes. So like, when I was in the Marine Corps as an officer.
You were in the Marine Corps?
I couldn't understand
as a dirty old,
why
as an officer,
they hammered us for little minor stuff. For little minor stuff. And the reason being is I asked them about it. I said, look, why is this stuff even significant? Especially for us. And what they said to me is they said, because you need to be an example of your troops. So what they're saying is your troops are going to follow what you do. They're going to set your precedent. Well, in our country, we want to hammer the guys that have no options on these little Rudy Poop crimes. But you get the politicians that got all the options and all the responsibilities and everything
and
else. Yes. And they get off of it because of that. That's backwards. It's the same thing with what we're talking about now with these banks. Too big to fail is an absolute contradiction.
Yeah.
That was the whole purpose of not having monopolies and everything in the first place.
Yes.
But we've accepted that like it's the right thing to do, and it's as backwards as you can possibly get.
Yes, Keith, you're absolutely right. It's And what too big to fail promotes is too big of a business, to be honest. That's really. And so we got a caller in queue. Keith, can you hear? Let me put this. Hold on 1 second, Rob. 1 second. Let me get this on speaker so you can hear, Keith.
Go ahead, Rob. What say you, bro?
Hey, so I got a question, Pastor Keith. How is it a crime when in the fine print all of this stuff is allowed by these bankers? How is it a crime? Nobody goes to jail because it's not necessarily a crime the way it's written. I mean, most
That's
people, I mean, not saying you in particular, but most people don't read the fine print. So nobody goes to jail because in the underlying, fine print of it, it says this is allowed, credit default swaps and you know, other kind of stuff that's allowed. You see what I'm saying? How are they gonna go to jail if it's allowed?
Well, actually, I don't know if I fully agree with that, because if you look at a lot of stuff that those guys were doing, a whole bunch of that stuff that they did, those were prosecutable things that they could have prosecuted for. They just didn't.
Iceland was one place that they did actually prosecute bankers. But what Robert is saying is it's true from this standpoint, Keith, not by what you're claiming. Because what you're saying is that this was all filled with ubiquitous fraud. See, the thing about there's something called diplomatic immunity. There's also immunity that bankers are given, because this is how they do it. They say that the overall, this is how you'll see where companies have actually been sued for, bankers have actually been sued for nefidious activities, right? Fraudulent activities. But see, the individual doesn't go to jail. What they do is they fine the overall bank.
Right.
But what that really is that they were able to actually institutionalize fraud into the whole banking system so that no person is held accountable for it. A unambiguous entity is. So let's say you get one of the largest banks in the world and they commit fraud and they have to pay a $100 million fine. Are they really paying a $100 million fine?
Well, no, absolutely. Just the cost of doing business.
Absolutely not. But here's the thing. Was there still fraud that was done?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. This is where the people have to establish that there is no immunity for anyone that commits a crime.
Hey, Dave.
Immunity.
Question, Dave. Question.
Immunity gives excuse and gives it credibility to what? Being above the law and having a superior
mentality and position. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, J.P. Morgan just got, it was a senior trader there. You hear about how he went to jail. The individual senior trader went to jail. But, however, they still got the SLV, you know, ETFs there, and it's still in place. You see what I'm saying? He got charged, but he obviously saying, you know, upper management knew what was going on, and nobody else got had to go to court for it or whatever. So now if he turns state evidence, well, I don't know if he got that option to. Then what's going to happen to the manipulation side of it? Because they didn't have that manipulation since I ever heard of the word, silver. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So they didn't charge J.P. Morgan, and birds of a feather flock together, and they all talk.
Yeah. Yeah, and Scotty,
that's a case where.
Okay.
No, I was just saying that's a case where that individual got charged, but the actual institution is not at fault, but they still able to continue business as usual.
Yeah, definitely. And remember, sometimes bankers decide to kill themselves and jump off of buildings when it gets too deep. Remember was going on. But they were in my opinion, they were getting thrown off the buildings, or they had no choice to do it. There's a lot that goes on in the financial world. We'll touch on it in a minute. But Scotty had a comment. He wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm with Keith on this, man. They could be prosecuted, but they choose not to prosecute. This case that Rob bringing up, he can only turn state's evidence if the state want to prosecute. So the state might just be happy with just prosecuting him and nobody else. And the reason I feel that these banks get away with stuff, look, we're not even talking about just fraud. We're talking about money laundering, drug money laundering.
Right.
Wachovia, before it got bought up by Wells Fargo, entered into a deferred prosecution agreement. I see those a lot when it comes to dealing with these type of institutions. We are not going to prosecute you, but we're going to fine you $750 million, even though we're accusing you of laundering over $1 billion. You still get to keep some. So that tells me, keep doing what you're doing. Because we're going to get our cut off the top, and then you know. And so, but really, though, what they're doing is protecting capitalism. Capitalism will fail if it was left to its own devices, okay? And so this is the whole communism versus capitalism versus socialism and all of that kind of stuff that they want us to buy into. That's why they won't prosecute, everybody involved, including the CEO of a bank or the board members, chairman of the board or whatever. It's because they know what happened in 2008. They almost took down the global economy. So that's why they don't prosecute these people. It's because they trying to say they propping up capitalism.
Yeah. And you know what? There's I'm going to find this. Remember, Scotty, we played, and I remember Rob probably remembers this as well. Remember when we played what Eric Holder said when he was the attorney general, when he says, if I prosecute these individuals, these entities, these banking institutions, it will collapse the global economy. Holder said that in committee. So Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
And I also think all of these statements are unfair. And the reason why I think these statements are unfair is because they say we're capitalistic, but we're not capitalistic by any stretch of the imagination. Because what had happened is, and it goes back to, again, the teachings that we used to have. You remember you had your monopoly busters, and the reasons why you had monopoly busters. People weren't allowed to have a monopoly in a capitalistic society. However, we don't even have capitalism. We got crony capitalism, which is so different from capitalism, it's not even funny. Look, because of these monopolies now, if I come out there used to be a thing in capitalism that if you build a better mousetrap, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer the case. Why? Because now I'm against a monopoly that will do several things. They'll shut me down in the courts that won't even allow me to bring it out. They'll give away their product free until I can't sustain my business anymore. All of these things take place because of these preferred positions that were given to these people, not because of capitalism, but because of politics. You know, you have people coming in and being set positions in business and everything because of political favors, et cetera, et cetera. That is not capitalism. Capitalism, actually, as it used to be, it would meld with society because they understood that they were a part of society and they worked with society for the betterment of all. When was the last time we've seen those things happen? You see them in certain small areas now. You hear about that company that takes all their profits now and gives it to their people, or at least a major percentage of them and all of that. But those are rare to the degree that when it happens, it hits the first news, the front pages of everything, because they never happen. That's much more capitalistic than the stuff that we're looking at today.
I also think
regulations and everything else. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
I also think that you hit on a key thing there when you brought up politics. Where do most of these people get their money from to mount these billion-dollar campaigns?
Right.
They get them from bankers. They get them from these people that run in those circles and what have you. And so they might have donated, let's use Trump, for example, the people that he has pardoned. And I'm just using it as an example. This didn't really happen, but he's pardoned a lot of people. But let's say that somebody made, you know, a bunch of campaign donations for him, raised money for him, and then they get in trouble. Well, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to call that card in and what have you. So, I mean, money and politics, I mean, this is the most corrupt country on the face of the planet. I don't know about other countries. I don't live in other countries. I can speak on, you know, I can read the news and talk to people who live in those countries to get an idea of what's going on. But I live here and lived here all my life. So I know what's going on because I pay attention to key areas. And this is the most corrupt country on the face of the planet. Let's go outside the bankers. How about the only person who got prosecuted and spent time in prison and he just got out from the CIA torture scandal? The whistleblower.
Yeah.
Not any of the people who actually killed people, kidnapped people, tortured people. Matter of fact, one of the supervisors got a promotion to the head of the CIA. The only person with the prison was the whistleblower. We live in a country. I tell you, man, when I know Iran and people say, you know, they call the United States the great Satan, but there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely is. And it's all here. And I'm trying to find that old Eric Holder, when he talked about when he was in committee. And he said that if he prosecuted the bankers, the global economy would collapse. That's what his actual words were. And it's very true. And as it's been said here by everyone here, this is all filled, this whole economic system is built off ubiquitous fraud. And it is something that is deeply, deeply rooted because it works this way because it's profitable. And it's profitable from the standpoint of control. And so that's the real dilemma that we're facing with here. So, yeah, and we're going to definitely jump into this on today's show as well. So hold on one second. Let me just get resituated here. So, oops, good catch, Dave. So we have this situation when you start to have, you know, schemes and scams such as a derivative. You know, a derivative is nothing more than a side bet. That's what the word derivative means. It means that value is derived from something that you have no overall direct relationship with. It's basically like you and I keep betting on who's your favorite basketball team, Keith? Okay.
LA.
Okay. So it's like you and I taking a bet on LA versus Golden State. You don't play for the LA Lakers. I don't play for Golden State. So we have a side bet that's known as a derivative. It derives from someone else's business. Completely illegal.
Now, from what I understand, Dave, and it takes it one step farther worse than that, because most of these side bets were generally betting against the best interest of what you supposed to be standing for.
Right.
So if you're taking – So they're taking our money, right, and they're making these side bets, but these side bets are designed that they're betting against our best interests. So when these bets go awry, guess what? I'm going to get flat out paid.
Right.
And you're going to lose your money that I bet with.
Go ahead, Keith.
So when you start talking about fraud, it's fraud doubled exponentially, because here you are, somebody that I'm relying on to do in my best interest. You're taking my money and you're setting it up for me to lose, and for that money to line my pockets, and I have no skin in the game.
Yeah.
You know, so you're looking at fraud times three.
Yeah, it's really
blatant. And they do this, and they really don't care that the people do know, because their overall approach is, what are they going to do? You know, and that's something that I think really has to change. So, but hey, we're gonna get ready to go to. Oh well, let me finish what's in the news. So hold on 1 second. Let me get back here on in space. Okay, now next article. We're gonna come back to all of this. Okay, now the significance of this is that the hacking of ATMs, the hacking of the financial institution, is that's what everyone here is going to have to deal with in a very, very profound way. And it can happen immediately and then cross-pollinate to everywhere, when guess what? Nothing has happened at all. Guess what an actual hacking event could actually – they can say that a hacking event happened. How will you verify that one really did happen? They could have had something really small and create the overall environment to say that everything else happened, because remember, they programmed everything here. They programmed everything here. And it can cross-pollinate in everywhere else. And then guess what happens? Your digital worth goes from an account on a screen to zero. And that gives the system all of the advantages to be able to exploit people, and it's really blackmail. It's really blackmail, and it's really extortion. So,
and like you said, there's no point, because even if they did do that, it would be years before they did an investigation. The investigation would come out and say, yeah, you guys did this, you're guilty. And then you'd have that same cycle in which they pay this fine with your money, and as far as they're concerned, they would reap all the benefits.
It won't be your currency, because they would have already swiped that. It would be their current
the currency account that they took from your
current account holders,
right?
Years and years later. That, yeah,
right. And then they turn around, they say, well, we're sorry, we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, we want to reinvent ourselves.
See, that's why the overall establishing of, see, one of the smart things that this system did is that it established personship. See, with personship, there's really no accountability. And that was put into position so that you could have the ubiquitous fraud, because there's no one individual that you can hold accountable for the fraud. That means the fraud will be continuous. It's just as what Scotty said, Wachovia, and then all of a sudden Wachovia gets bought out by somebody else. But guess what? The fraud continued, and continue.
Everybody in Wachovia just moves over to the new business anyway.
Or just, or the individuals just move out of the industry or move out of, exactly.
Hey, Dave.
So there is no real accountability.
Hey, Dave, check this
the
out,
only,
though.
See, yeah.
You there? Check this out, though. And this has been in the news recently.
Yeah,
this has been, and I'm so glad that I was able to convince my mom to take her money out of Wells Fargo. She's now with a Teachers Credit Union. But I was telling her, you need to get, close your account with Wachovia. Wells Fargo. They're investing in prison slavery. So she did it, you know. And then we find out what has Wells Fargo been cited for? In taking their customers' personal information and opening up other accounts. How many people have you heard being prosecuted over that? Now, that's some straight-up fraud right there.
Let me interrupt one sec. There was one person that did get prosecuted. I saw it on the news the other day. But the person that got prosecuted was the whistleblower that exposed them.
Wow.
Once again, like Scotty said earlier, that's how this whole system goes. See, these institutions establish a personship. And a person is not a living being, but it has overall rights. It has rights that are constricted by the overall system itself.
That's what Romney said. Businesses are people too.
But see, in that, it's all put together because that's how you're able to have fraud, and you can have fraud for perpetuity. It's one of the things is how everything is set up. See, this is the letter of the law that creates a person that doesn't exist. There is no such thing as this business, this bank. You know, there's the bank that's there, but the bank is not a living entity. It is actually run by living individuals, but that overall bank is not a living individual, but under the constructs of the law, it is, because it's the letter of the law, and the letter of the law is always here to condemn you. And it's a big, big setup. Big, big, huge setup. So listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, give me 2 minutes in the commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Keith, what were you saying?
What you're listening to sounded like the same conversation we just had.
Yeah, it really was. And I'm going to try to find that overall video where we played it here on BTR before on Tando Radio Show, where Eric Holder said if we prosecute all of the banks, we would collapse the global economy. So that's what they're saying. So what is he really saying when he said that before Congress? What is he really saying? He basically said that the global economy is based off of fraud. That's what we should be reading into this. And because that's really what it is. So let me get to a couple of things before we get into what's in the news. Next article, very important article. This was a key one. France takes the lead in protecting Iranian oil trade from U.S. sanctions. France aims to take the lead for the EU efforts in defying the U.S. sanctions on Iran by supporting the creation of a payment mechanism to keep trade with Iran and making euro more powerful. This is what France's economic minister said in an interview with Financial Times. What does that mean? France is now a hardened, ardent enemy of the U.S. They are saying pretty much that the U.S. is their enemy and what they need to protect themselves from. And everyone else. This is the purge that's going to turn into the overall global war. This is how recessions, deep recessions, spiral into confrontation. And that's what today's show is all about. Next article. This one is it's funny because we talked about this one yesterday somewhat, and then I was surprised that I found this one in the South China Morning Post. Very significant. Argentina seeks 8.7 billion currency swap with China after IMF loan. So doubt Argentina will be approachable by the U.S. in this overall trying to reposition South America. There it is. They're going to be in bed with China. Done deal. And I didn't think that that was going to happen, but this one pretty much solidifies it for me from what we talked about yesterday, Keith. You remember that? So very important. Next article from Project Syndicate. It comes. This one is from economic crisis to World War III. This is a great article that we need to be the hallmark of today's show. Next article we got from Sputnik News. Here goes Keith, one of his favorite women. I don't know. Keith really has a crush on this lady. This is Nikki Haley. Quote: "Not going to let it happen." Haley vows to stop Russia from lifting North Korean sanctions. The U.S. envoy to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, said Thursday that Moscow wants to lift banking sanctions on North Korea and put in place that was put into place and try to curb the North Korean nuclear program. But the United States won't let that happen. These are all war vibes and vibrance. How are you going to stop them? Going to happen, y'all. Next article from antiwar.com. With Brazil's Bolsonaro, Israel finds another natural partner in a far right wing, on the far right wing. So check out that article, basically saying how the president of Brazil is actually an ally to Israel, which they're going to have their overall, they're going to open up an embassy. Guatemala and the U.S. is opening embassies in Israel And Brazil says that they want to do that. I'm telling you, this guy's not going to be in Brazil for long. He's not going to be the overall celebrity figurehead in Brazil for long. Not going to do it. Won't be. I was actually, Brazil is actually taking the approach that I thought India would have. And India is taking an approach that I thought Brazil was going to have. So that's a big toss up there. But you got to know Brazil. Brazil is, you know, has his overall major issues with corruption. So it's easy to do clandestine operations there. So, but don't think that's not going to last. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Critical article. U.S. tells world to steer clear of Iranian oil tankers. The U.S. State Department has warned nations allowing Iran's shipping vessels into their territorial waters and ports of a potential risk connected to insurance liabilities amidst the recent induced sanctions. If Iranian tankers make calls to your port or transports through your waterways, this comes at a great risk. Getting ugly. Side talk there. What does that mean? Anybody that they do, they're going to target them. And then not only that, don't be surprised if an Iranian tanker is sunk and all of that oil spews into, you know how that would destroy the overall, a country's, how much economic pressure that could put on a country if it has a major oil spill within their ports, shuts their ports completely down. Ports is, New York City is the city that it is because the ports of New York. L.A. is the city that it is because of the ports in the harbor. New Orleans is the city that it is because of the overall ports. You know, ports determine. Hong Kong is what it is because of the ports. Ports make cities huge. So,
half the cities are cities because there was a port.
Because there was a port, yeah. Very, very significant. All of the major significant ones. Next article from Sputnik News, Trump's administration to move to restrict asylum at U.S. borders. Check out that article. This one's from Criminals, Nothing But Criminals, CNBC. Asian stock trade cautious after Fed keeps rates unchanged. Next article from The Guardian, a Chinese recession is inevitable. Don't think it won't affect you. And then the last article, this one comes from Bloomberg. Celebrity figurehead, former Fed chair, Yellen leads chorus of concern over risk facing the global economy. And this is all has to do with where things is going in the world. So that's what's in the news. We're going to jump into today's show. Very, very important. And today's show is basically we're talking about how deep recession can spiral into full blown military confrontation and war. And we need to take a look at some of these things. And that's actually what I think is going to happen. So we're going to do that. There was an article from Project Syndicate that was very important. From economic crisis to World War III, and we've always been saying that for a while. This is how this is overall going to be displaced. Here's how I think it happens, Keith. Just give you have an economic crisis, and then in that economic crisis, you have a cyber attack that is announced. And then that overall cyber attack, they lead it back to North Korea. They lead it back to Iran. They lead it back to Turkey. And what they're going to say is because the pressure that the U.S. put on these countries, and I wouldn't be surprised, Keith, if a Iranian oil tanker is sunk, you know, delivering oil to India, right? So now India is pissed, and they find out how this overall tanker is sunk, and if the tanker could have been sunk because the overall controls had been taken over and it was run aground, and now they can't pull that daggone ship out because it's so heavy, filled with oil. So what do they have to do with it? They got to wait until all the oil is off the ship before they can pull it out. So what does that do? That destroys your harbor, destroys your waterway. It makes you basically, it damages your economics quick. And then all of a sudden they come out and they say that, oh, guess who was behind this overall operation? It was the Israelis in the U.S. that did it. And then now all of these other countries are upset right? Because now they have an international incident that the U.S. sunk or was engaged in grounding out a large super tanker or a significant tanker. And it happens to be in one of the countries that the U.S. doesn't want them to be doing business in. They've already made their threats to them. You know what? Don't do it. They're making the threats known now. So when they talk about this in the mainstream, that means what's been already said behind closed doors has been going through a process of an argument for months or even years. Now it's making its way. So just think about the international incident for a country like India taking on oil from Iran, and it has an incident where the oil is, the tanker is either sunk, run aground, or for whatever. How upset would that make India? Extremely. Then what they would say is that the overall tanker was hit with a cyber attack, and that's what caused it to run aground. They lost control of the, they lost the overall abilities of the control, and it ran aground. And they traced it back to where? Oh, it was Israel that did it, because Israel has a very, very large cyber program. And if Israel did it, guess who else did it? The States. Now, guess what Iran does? They return the cyber attack favor. They return the cyber attack favor, but instead of running aground or oil tanker or anything else, what do? They run aground to your overall financial network. They hit some of your major banks. They already have got the overall, they've done the dry runs for the ATM machines. It works. So now you have a state, one or two states, or how about the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ gets hacked. And then the U.S. says, this is an act of war. And then from there, it causes, well, that overall attack brings about a deep recession or a financial crisis. You get when you go to your computer to check out your overall account, and it says that the site is down for temporary maintenance, and it doesn't come up for 3 weeks. So you say, all right, well, I go to the bank, the ATM machine. I go to the ATM machine. ATM machine is down where you are. Then you hear the person behind you say, hey, I went to 3 ATM machines. They all are down. What's going on? So you go over to the bank itself, and guess what? The bank says that all of its computers are down. We are experiencing a temporary shutdown for whatever reason. And then it comes to where it's much bigger than what they thought, and it's in a couple of states, and then it hits the NASDAQ, it hits the stock exchange. Oh, I'm not making this up. NASDAQ was shut down because of a cyber attack not too long ago. The stock market as well was shut down because of a cyber attack not too long ago. And what I mean by not too long ago, it wasn't more than 3 years ago. And it shut it down for an hour, I believe what it was. What was that? That was the embedded dry run to see how things would work and how that would affect everything. Now they blame that on that cyber attack happens, and it displaces all of the banks in the United States. Let's say it was a major bank such as a Citibank is hit. Doesn't matter if you have a Citibank account or if you don't. All of the banks, every single chartered bank institution will be affected by this. So now it grows, and then it goes on Cerebrally Naive Network and all of the major networks, breaking news. This has just happened, and they're going to talk. Remember what happened with the overall cyber attack that happened in Europe, and it totally shut down the hospital and everything else, and it got into the States and everything else. Now that is happening and is spreading. It's moved into where the government also disables the social networks, disables payments by way of WIC.
Call recording off.
The major corporations, such as the credit card corporations, debit cards, credit cards, they all go down. And they all go down and say, if we're not affected, but we don't want to get infected by it. And then you start to hear from mainstream media that the major financial institutions are telling all of their employees, whatever you do, don't open any email. Too late, it's already there. And we're going to shut down. And then they come out with how much is lost in that trading day. Because it's not only the actual NASDAQ in the stock market, the Forex market was actually affected and hit. And they give you the numbers for what was actually lost or what was interrupted from that. And now there's ramifications from that. And when that happens, you're going to have a financial crisis. And then guess what's going to be said? You're going to have John Bolton. He's going to tell Trump to be quiet. He says, I'm going to speak. I know who did this. John Bolton's going to have a press release. And he's going to say that we consider this an act of war. And then there it goes. Then the banks tell you that, hey, we'll have this fixed by over the weekend, like they did in Greece. Well, the weekend came and went. Nothing was fixed. This is how this actually perpetuates and moves. And what I'm going to go into, I want you to read some of this article for you so you can see how this is really in the mind script. The bankers are actually warning everybody about what's to come. They're actually doing that. Just we need to know the language and listen. So we got Brother Davis that's in queue. Brother Davis wanted to chime in. Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I say the great show, Dave. We also want to consider, Dave, if you can give them a little understanding of what financial martial law is, because they will initiate what's called financial martial law. And that's something that we also have to have some insight about, because it's going to affect everything, everything of value, every working hour, anything that you may possess from your retirement forward that has any value will be taxed. So I'll just sit back and listen to you, brother.
Yeah. Always good to hear the voice of a friend, Brother Davis, as well. Yes, you know, this actually, the U.S. has actually came out with the mandate that and said that any cyber attack that affects the national interest or the national security of the United States can actually be considered an act of war where nuclear weapons can be used in defense of the country. So what you would have in the sense of that, once that type of statement is made, you would actually have an invokement of martial law. Because think about the overall displacement. You can't get gas, can't get food. Some places can, some places can't. And the places that can, and one of the things that's going to happen is going to be unevenly yoked. Some places will be able to get some institutions will be open, some institutions will have the overall ability to have things, and some places won't. What is that going to do? Invoke mass hysteria. And then that's where what Brother Davis is talking about, they'll come in and say, no, everybody shut down. Everyone shut down. Because one, we need to shut down in order to actually be able to get a hold of this overall hack. They're going to say they're bringing out their best hacker, their best cyber personnel in the world to fix this. And guess who those individuals are? The very best hackers that there are. So they're going to use hackers to hack.
So they say they're going to use hackers.
So they say. And so this is how you have personship now being able to run amok. And it gives them full plausible deniability. Here's this article. Very, very... full plausible deniability for massive fraud. Here's what happens. From economic crisis to World War III, the response to the 2008 economic crisis, and this is the article, the response from the 2008 economic crisis
move this down, has relied far too much on monetary stimulus in the form of quantitative easing and near zero or even negative interest rates, because there is negative zero interest rate, and then they go to ZERP, negative interest rates to zero interest rates to negative interest rates, meaning now they're stealing from you at all times.
You got to pay them.
You got to pay them
your money
to keep your currency, right? So, and include far too little structural reform. That's the key to everything. There is no true benevolent structural reform. The people itself, you and I and everyone else in this world, is going to have to come to terms and realization, probably after we get hit so hard and get beaten down so much and lose so much, that we need to change everything that we've done. We need complete structural reform, where we won't allow for any type of immunity or any type of engagement that can be used fraudulently. We can't go to the overall devil to ask for the solution for the evil that the devil perpetrates, pervades. We can no longer look at the devil as anything other than who the devil truly is. We can't try to make a deal of inclusion into the devil's system of false prosperity and walking away from our sustainable economic truth. Can't do it. The system wins, you lose. Plain and simple. Yes, few people may seem like moonlight. They seem like they're getting ahead, but there is no such thing as moonlight. The moon doesn't give off any light. Article goes on. This means that the next crisis could come soon and pave the way for a large-scale military conflict. Beijing, it says, the next economic crisis is closer than you think. But what should you really worry about is that what comes after.
Yep.
In the current social, political, and technical landscape, a prolonged economic crisis combined with rising income inequalities could well escalate into a major global military confrontation. I will say that it will.
I will say that it has.
It is. Right. It has, and it is working right now. The 2008-2009 global financial crisis almost bankrupted governments and caused a systemic collapse. I will say this. No, it didn't. That's the appearance that they wanted us to see, so that they can later on, because one of the things, Jamie Dimon said it best. Jamie Dimon said that until we get rid of all regulations and let bankers do what bankers do best, we are going to continue to have economic collapses. See, what they're doing there is they're saying that, guess what? You're in pain because you didn't get me everything that I want. So they create these crises to actually be able to get from you everything.
Now, Dave, now, if I can recall, Jamie Dimon is the same one that talked about cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
I told him how no good it was and how he dropped the bottom out of the value of it and all
mm-hmm.
of that
mm-hmm.
and turned around and bought it all up.
Yeah.
So you already know where this guy's mindset is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's all propaganda. It's all propaganda. So the article goes on. The 2008-2009 global financial crisis almost bankrupted governments. No, it has never, ever threatened any government. Who did it really bankrupt, Keith? The common person.
The people.
Because it's a common economy that collapses. Their economy is not built the way that the common person's is. Their economy is based off of money, not currency. The common everyday person's economy is built off of currency, not money. And caused a systemic collapse. Policy makers managed to pull the global economy back from the brink using massive monetary stimulus, including quantitative easing and near zero or even negative interest rates. But monetary stimulus is like an adrenaline shot to jumpstart an arrest heart. It can revive the patient, but it does nothing to cure the disease. Treating a sick economy requires structural reform, which can cover everything from financial and labor markets to tax systems, patterns, and educate policy. Policymakers have utterly failed to pursue such reform, despite promising to do so. Instead, they have remained preoccupied with politics, from Italy to Germany, forming and sustaining governments now seems to take more time than actually governing. And Greece, for an example, has relied on money from international creditors to keep its head barely above water, rather than the genuine reforming its pension systems or improving its business environment. Let me just say this, its business environment and its pensions are already gone, just like everyone else here. The system was set up for that overall, for this crisis to swipe everything. This is the big delete button that they get to push. And the article goes on. The lack of structural reform has meant that the unprecedented excess of liquidity that central banks interject into the economy was not allocated to its most effective use. Instead, it raises global asset prices to level even higher than those previous before 2008. In the United States, housing prices are now 8% higher than they were at the peak of the prosperity bubble in 2008. According to property website Zillow, the price-to-earning cap ratio, which measures whether the stock market's price are within the reasonable range, is now higher than it was in both 2008 and at the start of the Great Depression in 1929. Here's what's really going to happen. You are not going to have another Great Depression. What is going to happen is that it's going to be much greater than the financial collapse of 2008 and the Great Depression combined. You're going to have the greatest wealth transfer ever. That's what's going to be set forth. Article goes on. As monetary tightening reveals the vulnerability in the real economy, the collapse of asset price bubble will trigger another economic crisis, one that could even be more severe than the last one, because we have built up a tolerance to our strong macro economy. A decade of regular adrenaline shots in the form of ultra-low interest rates and unconventional monetary policy has severely depleted their powers to stabilize and stimulate the economy. If history is any guide, the consequence of this mistake could extend far beyond the economy. According to Harvard's Ben, a prolonged period of economic distress has been characterized also by public empathy towards minority groups or foreign countries' attitudes that can help to fuel unrest, terrorism, or even war. Because that's what they want to have now. They're going to fuel the economy with unrest, terrorism, and war.
Dave.
Go ahead, Keith.
So, really what you have here is what I see, and this is nothing new. You have a perfect scenario. And I got a big one for you and a small one for you, right? Mm-hmm. The small one for you is our whole judicial system and paid prisons. What a beautiful picture that presents. Because you have the people that don't like us, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have come up with a system that They don't like you. They don't want to see you. Now they can lock you up, not look at you, and get paid for you because I don't see you.
Right. Hold on, Keith. Hold it on there because we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. We'll hold on to that, though, because it's important. Listen, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tango Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. I want to go back to Keith. Go ahead, Keith. Pick back up where you were.
So it's a real nice system for those of them that don't look like us and have some means as is. So that's a small system. But you have a perfect system on the bigger system. Because if you look at what they want to do, one of their main objectives is what they call depopulation.
Right.
They literally want to reduce the world of its population by several billion people. Well, what better position can you have than to wipe away all these people and at the same time, I take it back to Germany, a small system again. Because when they gathered up the Jews before they exterminated them, they stole all their wealth.
Yep.
So now they had the opportunity to get rid of the people that they want to and reap all the wealth of the Jews at the same time. So you're looking at that exact same thing on a global scale. They get to get rid of all the people, insulate themselves, because they're not going to be affected by any of this stuff. And then when they wipe everything out and all the people out, they can come in and take all the wealth and start all over anew afresh.
Yeah, and fight among themselves for the spoil thereof. Right.
And they're not going to fight among themselves. Oh, okay, you're talking about back to a slightly smaller scale.
Yes.
With China and Russia,
yep,
and all those people, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So the article goes on, and point well taken, Keith, and it really puts really where this is going. For example, the article says, for example, during the Great Depression, the U.S. President Herbert Hoover signed the 1930 Tariff Act intended to protect American workers and farmers from foreign competition. Where has there been a Tariff Act been already been signed right now? See, you sign tariffs when you're in a Great Depression. What does Trump do? Invoke tariffs. You invoke tariffs that shows that you're in what? A Great Depression. Like with Hoover. So it goes on. Here's what Hoover did. He signed the 1930 Tariff Act intended to protect American workers and farmers from foreign competition. What did Trump say that he was revoking tariffs for?
He said because they were being treated so unfairly
to the American workers.
Yeah.
In the subsequent 5 years, global trade sunk by two-thirds, and within a decade, World War II had begun. But see, the difference of the matrix of everything is much different now because it's a just-in-time delivery system. So it won't take, at once tariffs go in, it's not going to take 5 years. And that was even quick for then. See, the next war is going to start months to a year after the tariffs.
Because we're in a global market.
It's a global marketplace. Exactly, Keith. To be sure, the global trade shrunk by two-thirds within a decade. World War II had begun. To be sure, World War II, like World War I, was caused by a multitude of factors. That is, there is no standard path to war, but there is reason to believe that high levels of inequality can play a significant role in stroking conflict. According to the research by The Economist, a spike in income inequality is often followed by a great crisis. Income inequality then declines for a while before rising again until a new peak. That's exactly what's happening right now. See, they thought they never mitigated anything from 2008, 2009. It kind of, everybody thought it went away, but now it's actually doing a dead cat bounce. It's really going to explode now.
With no recourse to correct it.
It's over. Can't fix it. Now, it goes on. The article goes on. And a new disaster, through casualties yet to be proven, have given the limited number of data points to this correlation should have been taken. This shouldn't have been taken lightly, especially with the wealth and income inequality at historical levels. That's right now. This is all the more worry in the view of numerous other factors stoking social unrest, diplomatic tension, including technology disruptions. What is technology disruptions? Cyber attack.
Can I add something to that,
yeah,
too? And here's the amazing thing. I would never put myself on the level of an intellectual giant.
Me either. No,
but with that being said, the things that we're talking about, right? We all understand the things we're talking about. Yes?
Yes.
Now, you got economic geniuses out there and PhDs and everything else.
Right.
And we're talking about this on our level.
Mm-hmm.
So just to put this in perspective just a little bit, we see the condition that our economy is going on.
Yes.
And recently, what did they do? They did one of the largest tax cuts in history, and they gave it all to the rich.
Yep. Inequality.
Inequality, absolutely.
You know that there was more millionaires made in this overall period. Let me just say this, Chief.
Because to your point, there were more. The number of millionaires, I'm going to put the stat up for Monday. Great Creator willing, if we're on air on Monday. There's a great inequality of the new millionaires that have been made in this asset bubble rich period that we're in. To make to your point, Keith, go ahead.
So, given that the scenario, the American people, they have never announced, but they had already on the books, were ready to pass another tax cut bigger than this last one to do the exact same thing on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this last one they couldn't afford, because that's why they're talking about cutting Medicare and Social Security and all these things to pay for it.
Yes.
You know, it's put something else back in that. Before I had some of the understanding that I have now, I thought that one of the stupidest things that there was an inheritance tax. I did.
Yeah.
Because I ever thought that if I made it to that level, yeah, who in the heck are you, government, to yeah take away what I've earned?
Your work.
Absolutely.
You're seeding forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is goes to my kid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until later that I found out that if you don't do that, you end up in the scenario that we have now. You'll end up in these situations where you have Donald Trump talking about putting his daughter in a position of ambassadorship simply because of the money that they were able to hand down from generation to generation makes them better than everybody else and what they say goes. Do you realize that, Dave, if I ask you for $10,000...
No. Okay, go ahead.
So, Dave, if I strong-armed you for $10,000,
okay,
and the government found out about it, mm-hmm, you got taxes to pay.
Right.
Do you realize that with this last thing that they paid before they start thinking about taxing the money that they hand down to their billionaire children, mm, you know how much they can give even before they start thinking about taxes? $22.4 million that they could just hand over without a tax even coming up in the conversation.
Because it's all done under personship. It's
a system of fraud. But now, check this out. With everything that you just said, Keith, here's this article, and I want everyone to hear this because this is – the financial crisis does lead into a war. And I gave you an example of how I think that's going to go. It's going to go by cyber to go to war. And then that's where you'll have more of the traditional things, but it's the cyber will be even worse. Here's what it is, and it adds to your point, Keith. And it says that I missed some point. Okay, there is more worry. This is all the more worrying in the view of the number of factors stroking social unrest, diplomatic tensions, including technical disruptions, a record-breaking migration crisis, anxiety over globalization, political polarization, rising nationalism are all the symptoms of failed policies that could turn out to be trigger points for future crisis. All of these things, migration crisis, there's migration crisis in the world that's going on.
Dave, can I?
Anxiety over globalization, polarization, rising nationalism.
So what had happened was the United States was one of the first countries to move away, because what had happened was most of the global countries had a pact that they were going to start allowing global migration. And the reason being is because they understood that the world was in crisis. All these people were people seeking asylum, safety issues, and all that. So they had created a pact to allow global migration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the United States pulled out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just reading that most of the other countries had agreed. But I was just reading where Austria, who was it? It was Austria and the other couple of the nations had also pulled out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they pulled out of it, you're starting to see it coming in unhinged, and all these other countries are starting to pull out.
Because borderization is going to be critical, because borderization is actually the advent of war.
So what's going to happen is when this war breaks out, and it is,
it has. Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to have nowhere to go. Even if you go back to World War II, right, and you have the dastardly United States, and a lot of people don't know it because they denied the Jews from coming over initially.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, they had the backlash to that because people started hearing about it. So there was countless number of Jews and other people, just like this caravan that was coming over seeking asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what it's going to be like when you have massive destruction on a global scale.
Again, global displacement in today's world. Yeah.
And none of those people have nowhere they can go for refuge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. And that's what this article is giving all of the overall points, that the economic crisis is going to turn into global confrontation, which we've been talking about since we've been on air. The article goes on, and it's almost finished. Voters have good reason to be frustrated, but the emotional appeal, the appealing populace to whom they are increasingly giving their support, are offering ill-advised solutions that will only make matters worse. For example, despite the world's unprecedented incorrectness, multilateralism is increasingly becoming eschewed as countries, most notably Donald Trump's U.S. pursuing unilateral isolism policies. Meanwhile, proxy wars are rising in Syria and in Yemen, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to raise in Venezuela, it's going to raise in Korea, it's going to raise in Djibouti, is going to raise in the Ukraine, is going to these proxy wars are all going to jump up. She is saying exactly what you had said, Keith, and here it goes. Against this background, we must take serious the possibility that the next economic crisis will lead to a large-scale military confrontation. By the logic of political scientist Samuel Huntington, considering such a scenario could help us avoid it. And I'm going to just say, the cat's out the bag. You can't avoid it anymore. You can't avoid it. Now, what I agree with him is avoiding it is by you preparing to avoid as much of it as you possibly can. It's no longer on the a macro level. It's at the micro level now. It's you, your family, and everyone else. It goes on. Because it would force us to take action. In this case, the key would be for policymakers to pursue the structural reform that they have long promised. I'm going to tell you, they're incapable of doing it. Because all of these individuals are already pledged their allegiance to the system at your demise. They're incapable of doing it. You can't go to the devil and ask for the solution. The problem is the devil in all thereof. The article goes on, last sentence. While replacing finger pointing and antagonism with a sensible and respectful global dialogue, the alternative may well be global conflagration. And this is true. It is definitely going to lead into the overall war. And I gave my overall layout of how that war is going to play out. And the outcome of that war is going to be one of the countries that have some of the greatest technical advances are going to be the ones that suffer the most. They're going to be the ones that suffer the most initially. But the one that's going to be completely nullified is the one in which most of us that are listening to this show happen to live in. The so-called United States. Well, the wealth transfer of the United States will be one of the greatest wealth transfers of all time. It's definitely of our overall, of our generations in the past four generations, it will be the greatest wealth transfer, and it's necessary, the system sees it necessary for that to happen in order for them to maintain control through what Keith was talking about by depopulation, thinning the herd. So Keith wanted to chime in.
And Dave, on top of that, let me try to clarify what I think you might have been saying. The reason why we're going to be hit so bad is because we as a population, well, the United States as a population, completely rely on their technology. In other words, if we get hit by a cyber attack,
completely relies on the system.
On the system.
Yeah.
And they shut down the electrical grid, which they've already shown that they're capable of doing.
Just in time delivery system.
We are flat out lost.
Yeah.
We are flat out lost. Because nobody knows how to survive without it. The other countries do. You know, you can take out their electrical grids, et cetera, et cetera. And sure, it's going to hamstring them. But overall, their population knows how to survive through that. So what you're going to have here, since nobody knows how to survive through that, all they know to get whatever they need is to take it from somebody else. So you're going to have the global war from the outside, which isn't going to paint a candle to the global war you're going to have inside of it.
Yeah.
Now, here's what makes it worse, Dave, is something that you hear all the time. When people talk about black people, and I hate to bring this up, but you'll hear it, they'll say, why is everything with you people about race? And on top of all this stuff that we're talking about, we have to all also understand that there is a global movement towards the alt-right, the Klan, and the elimination of people of hue. We have to understand that when all this takes place and everything takes place and everybody's killing one another to survive, there is going to still be the message that, you know what, black people are still worse than we are and therefore deserve nothing that we need. And on top of that, there's going to still be a war against black people here. Now, I'm not talking about a race war. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the old adage, when they catch the cold, we catch pneumonia. Yeah. And that's going to hold true here also. And I'm just saying that we as a people that look like ourselves We sit in a boat that only we sit in that nobody else is concerned about. So where that comes into play is we are already the least prepared. But we're also the ones that are in position to take the greatest brunt of all of this that's about to come forth. We are already way behind the power curve. But if this stuff doesn't motivate you to start moving and trying to do something, I don't know what will.
What the KGB agent said, until my person gets a swift kick in the butt. And that's but you know, in our case, community wise, we've been kicked in the butt so much, and the displacement, the position that we're in, is actually going to exacerbate the overall problems that we'll have to endure, because you know it's not from a position of advantage. The system is always going to have division, and it's going to magnify that division as much as it possibly can to ensure that it's insulating its overall survivability, its self-preservation. The system is going to use a self-preservation method. And how do you do that? Is you can increase the divide. You have the overall people that you are stealing from to fight among themselves. And then that nullifies their overall energy to wage anything of significance against the true cause of the death and destruction of the cancer. Because our attention will be split and divided. And so, man, great, great show. Thank you, everyone, for listening and engaging. Rob, did you want to chime in before we get out of here?
Yeah, I just got notice about a bank run in China as we speak, but they didn't censor it over there in the Southwest Province, I believe it was Shanghai. A bank run. It's in effect
That bank run has been happening for about a week and a half now. Yeah. And
not getting to the information. Okay.
Yeah, and hopefully it didn't make its way to Shanghai, but I definitely anticipate that it probably will, because let me tell you, the largest economy in the world is going to have to go through it. And the largest economy in the world is China. When they tell you that the U.S. is no way, and then that's going to cross into here. So definitely need to be prepared for it. But the financial crisis will spiral into World War III that will turn into global nuclear war one, without a doubt. The handwriting is on the wall. The proverbial handwriting is on the wall. Do what it is that you can to make sure that you can mitigate the adverse effects of that as much as you possibly can. So everyone, we're getting ready to get out of here. Just want to thank you all for listening. Tando Radio Show is never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.